We're in Ephesians chapter number 3. We're in a series on the Christian and his walking in newness of life. It's the theme for the year, and it's the focus at the beginning of the year through a number of different messages. I had spent the last two messages on Sunday mornings before I left dealing with the Christian's new companion, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know as I continue that and do part three this morning that the Holy Spirit is a real person. We're not talking about a force. We're not talking about just a spirit that's out there lingering somewhere. But we are talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the Bible calls him. He's a real person. He has feelings. He is omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere present at one time. He is omnipotent. That means he is all powerful. He is all knowing. That means he is omniscient. He has all the infinite qualities of God the Father and God the Son. And he is given to the believer to live within him. So far, we have learned that he has done the work of regeneration in a believer's heart at the moment of salvation. That means he has imparted spiritual life. When Scott prayed at his house a number of weeks ago, Scott, at that moment that he put his faith in Jesus Christ and prayed, he was given spiritual life and given the Holy Spirit to live in him. That doesn't mean that there's goosebumps that go down your back. That doesn't mean that in the middle of the night you get dreams and visions and all this. But you do have the person of the Holy Spirit with new life inside of you. That's what the Bible teaches. He indwells the life of a believer and he imparts new life. One of his ministries to the believer is the ministry of assurance. We preach through that and show that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes we get shallow in our faith. Sometimes we allow doubts to creep in. In fact, I've talked to believers who really believe that they are not saved. They believe that they are saved for 20 years. But here comes a fiery dart of doubt into the mind. I always ask them, is that happening under the preaching of the gospel? No, it just happens randomly. If it happens under the preaching of the gospel, it's a good chance you're not saved and the Spirit is reproving you and telling you you need to get saved, because the Spirit works through the Word. The devil is random and the devil fires darts from all angles at all times. And so, but I've met believers that have faced the fiery dart of doubt. And we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, that assures us when we condemn ourselves that we are the children of God, and that is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit to a believer. We also talked about his work of illumination, how that he makes the Bible understandable for us. Now watch this. There's a movement out there today that changes the words of God and says we need a Bible that is more readable. We need something that we can understand. No, what you need is the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit of God, you can understand our King James Bible. The Spirit of God opens up the Bible to help us to understand it. As I'm preaching it this morning, the Spirit of God is working in our midst, and he's going to make known the truth of the Scriptures to you so that you have understanding of the ministry of the Spirit. That's the Spirit's job to do, and he knows how to do it. He gives us discernment. He gives us understanding to be able to see how the Word of God applies to our lives. He increases our knowledge of God through the Word of God. By the way, you want to know God? You study the Word. Some of you have started the reading program this year that we passed out at the beginning, the chronological reading of God's Word. Some of you have testified to me about it. May I warn you this morning, we're in February. And when you start a new habit, it is easy to miss a few days and it is easy to give up on Bible reading. May I encourage you not to do that, but to give diligence to be in the Scriptures, because as you're in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will increase your knowledge of God. He will also increase your understanding of truth. He will also instruct you to how to live all through the Word of God, all through His work or His ministry of illumination. We looked at His work of sanctification. Last time we met, which was 3 weeks ago on Sunday, I taught and preached through the work of sanctification, that it is the Spirit's work to take a life, watch this, that has been set apart unto himself or herself, that has lived their life basically for the things of this world, for the here and now, how they thought they should live life. And the Spirit takes the word and takes a believer and begins to set areas of that believer's life apart unto the Lord. Here's Sunday morning. Here's a person that's lived without Christ for 30 years. They've lived an unsaved life. Sundays, they did what everybody else does. Boating, camping, living their day free for themselves. But Christ comes in. The Holy Spirit begins to live. They see that Sunday in the Scriptures is set apart unto the Lord. We're to worship the Lord on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they grab that truth. And the Spirit shows them that truth. And all of a sudden, they've been living 30 years doing what they want to do on Sundays. But now they're in church on Sundays. What's happened? Something in their heart and in their life has been set apart unto the Lord. Here's a person that has never had a testimony of salvation to share with others. But they get saved. Thinking of Joanne this morning. We're down at the baptismal. Guess what? Joanne all of a sudden has a testimony that's set apart unto the Lord. He did something for me. He saved me. Now, my lips are set apart unto the Lord. I could talk the trash that I used to talk. I could say the swear words that I used to say. I could post the vulgar things online that I used to post. But wait a second, the Spirit of God is in me. And the Spirit of God has touched my lips. He's given me something wonderful to talk about. They are set apart unto Him. Who does all that work? I'll tell you who does it. The Spirit does it. I was talking last Sunday with a 28-year-old man by the name of Dante. Dante is an engineer over in the Philippines, and he told me this. Sunday afternoon after the baptismal, he told me this. He said, "Preacher, it was just a year ago, and my Sundays were about going to Hollywood and the movies." He said, "My relaxation was built around me." And he said, "You know, a year makes a big difference." He says, "I'm in church on Sundays. Pastor's giving me books to read that are building me up, and I'm reading the Bible and learning." Marcia told me the other day that he locked himself out of his apartment by accident the other night, couldn't get into his apartment, went to an internet cafe all night and listened to sermon audio and messages from this pulpit all night. What happened, preacher? I'll tell you what happened. The Spirit moved in. And when the Spirit moves in, He sanctifies. He sets things apart in our lives. And by the way, believer, if you're saved this morning and you've been saved for 30 or 40 years, hear me, He's not done sanctifying in your life yet. There are more things that He wants to set apart unto Him. It's His work of sanctification. His ministry of guidance. We're led by the Spirit, according to the Scriptures in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. And He leads through His Word. You know, we have big decisions in our lives, don't we? Some are facing some big decisions right now. I mean life-changing decisions. I mean things that are going to affect your life maybe for the next 20 years. Young people and older people alike. Do you think that the Spirit could guide you through that decision? Do you think that the Spirit could give you absolutely clear direction on those decisions? I believe so, because He does guide us. And then He ministers to us comfort. And we dealt with that last week, how that when there's sorrow, the Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter is right alongside of us. Ho, 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 you're not going to go through that alone. I'm not going to let you go through that alone. I'm right here. And I want you to know I'm going to speak to you. And I want you to know I'm going to bring that peace in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the night. I want you to know that when you wake up in the morning and it's the first thing on your mind, I want you to know I'm right there. I'm right there all the time. That's the Spirit of God. He is known as the Comforter. And then this morning, I want you to see his ministry of inner strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit strengthen the inner man? It means that he powerfully girds you with strength to bear the stresses of life that you are under. By the way, everybody has stresses of life. Life is full of stress that bears down on us and wears us down. But I want you to know that in Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible makes the promise that your inner man can be strengthened by his Spirit, who is all powerful. He has the strength for you. You know, we have enemies sometimes. They're strong, and they're subtle, and they go after us. But I want you to know you have the strength of the Spirit. That's one of his ministries, to strengthen you. We face temptations. You face temptations? I face temptations. I face allurements, things that the enemy drops down in front of me to jump at, to take my thoughts, to take my attitudes in a wrong direction, to take my actions, to take how I feel about others, to take my eyes, take my flesh, lust of the flesh, capitalize on my pride, You face any of those things? They're called temptations. By the way, Jesus did too. And I want you to know, in time of temptation, the Spirit is there to strengthen the inner man. The Spirit is there to help you to say, no, I'm not going to fall for that. No, I'm not going down that road again. No, I'm not using that kind of speech. Who helps us to be able to do that? It's the Spirit of God that strengthens the inner man against temptations. It's the Spirit of God that strengthens us in our many duties that we have to perform. I look out across the building and there are parents here that have duties as parents. But they also have duties as employees or even employers. There are people that have our grandparents here. And God has duties for you as a grandparent. And God has duties for us as church members and commitments that we've made to our church and to our God. And you know what? It's easy to slack without the Spirit. But it is the Spirit that gives us that inner strength to keep going and to manage the duties and the various responsibilities of life that I have as a Christian, that I have as a citizen, that I have as a church member, that I have as a parent, that I have in my life as a pastor, that you have in your life as a Sunday school teacher, or your role in cleaning the church, or your role in knocking on doors, or your role in going out and visiting bus children, or your role, listen, in the church of service. Hear me this morning. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to do what we're supposed to do. Strength in trials. He produces a strength of resolve and determination to work through what we're facing. Brethren, hear me this morning. The Spirit's never going to lead you to quit. The Spirit comes along those that are about ready to quit and says, hey, let me strengthen you in your inner man. Let me give you some thoughts against that direction. Let me give you a believer to come alongside and encourage you at just the right time. Let me give you a scripture promise to grab a hold of right where you're living. Listen, I'm here to strengthen you. That's what the Spirit does. He strengthens the inner man. I'm so thankful for the ministry of the Spirit. How about you this morning? In Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about the strengthening of the inner man. And then Ephesians chapter 6, he gets into spiritual battle. You ever faced spiritual battle before? You ever just felt like you're oppressed? Depressed. Darts are flying in every direction. All of a sudden, here's a family problem. And over here's a financial problem. And over here, you're worried about the future of your health. And over here, you got a child that you're worried and concerned about. And they're flying in every direction. What are we supposed to do? The Bible says, be strong in the day of battle. How do I get there, preacher? The Spirit. It tells us in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But He tells us in Ephesians 3 where that strength comes from. It comes from the Spirit of God. You see, the inner man is the seed of spiritual feebleness. It's where we get weak. It's where we become faint-hearted. It's where the inner man is where we have little spirit sometimes instead of a strong spirit. 1 Thessalonians describes it as the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. People that are without inner strength. You say, preacher, I don't feel like that today. Yeah, you may tomorrow. Yeah, truth of the matter is we all have times where our spirit is faint. By the way, believers, we ought to keep our eyes out for each other when we're like that. We ought to look to be a strength to somebody who is little in spirit. You ought to come to church discerning. It's okay to talk to a brother and say, are you okay? Is everything okay with you right now? It's okay to come up and say, hey, I know you're going through something. I want you to know I'm right with you. I want you to know you're in my prayers every day. Say, what is that, preacher? That's helping to strengthen the spirit of a man. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 11 says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now, why does God give us the strength from the Spirit? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What is the purpose of inner strength from the Spirit? It is so that we are able to bear trials without murmuring. That's a hard one. It says, unto all patience, that's endurance. And long-suffering, that means sometimes that trial, that temptation, those darts last longer than I want them to last. But what does the strength of the Spirit do? It builds in us endurance and long-suffering. Unto what? Joyfulness. Whew. You ever seen a believer go through something, maintain their joy, not complain, and say, how in the world are they doing that? Strength of the Spirit. Spirit strengthening them. For which cause we faint not, 2 Corinthians 4:16. That's when we're weak. That's when we're feeble. That's when we're little spirited. That's when we're about to give up. That's when we're depressed and discouraged. For the Bible says, which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How does that happen, preacher? I'll tell you how it happens. We have a constant companion named the Holy Spirit that strengthens the inner man. I'll tell you, that's the way it happens. This means that we feed the inner man. The Word of God. It means we keep praying. It means we keep starting our day worshiping God. It means we stay clean. Even in trials. It means we exercise ourselves unto obedience. You see, the Spirit increases our abilities to resist and to overcome. He matches the power that we need to whatever we are facing. But hear me, this is a key. The believer has to yield to Him. I have to yield to His tools for strengthening me. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You don't get more of the Spirit. The Spirit gets more of you. So in your temptations, and in your trials, and in your difficulties, and in the midst of fiery darts coming from every which direction, what do I need to do, preacher? You need to yield yourself to the Spirit and the tools that He uses to strengthen you. What are those tools? We know He works through the Word of God. We know that He's given us the local church. We know that He works through prayer. When we turn things over to God, He takes anxiety and He replaces it with peace, according to Philippians chapter 4. But watch this. If you don't yield to the tools, you won't experience the full resources and power of the Holy Spirit. You must yield. There is an individual part on this. And the individual part is that you yield to the Word of God every day in your life. You take it in, regardless of how you feel. You yield to personal prayer. And every time those worries, as Brother Vinny preached about on Wednesday night, enter your mind, you stop them at your gate, and you turn them over to the Lord, and you pray and say, Lord, I can't handle this. I'm giving this to You. And the Spirit brings peace and comfort and helps you to overcome those worries. Listen. If you need inner strength from the Spirit this morning, there needs to be an altar that's met by you where you come and yield yourself afresh to the tools that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives, where His power is demonstrated personally in your life. His work, His desire is to strengthen your inner man. That's why He was given to us, the strength of the inner man. I read Hebrews chapter 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouth of lions and quenched the violence by fire and escaped the edge of the sword and of weakness were made strong and waxed valiant in fight. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens through the Spirit of God. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, you read some of the difficulties that those people went through. And yet, their faith trumped it all. They remained faithful. They stayed with God. They kept to their duties before the Lord in the midst of difficult things, in the midst of being sawn asunder, in the midst of the lion's den. How? The Spirit. He strengthens the inner man. There's something else He gives. He gives a provision of power to die to self. You say, preacher, why are you spending so much time on the Spirit? Because I don't really believe that we see Him as a real person with real purpose in our lives. And He has real purpose in our lives. And one of the real purposes is to strengthen the inner man. But another purpose is to give us power to die to ourselves. You know yourself and myself? They're strong. My flesh is strong. In the wrong direction. And so is yours. I want you to know it's like a magnet. A huge magnet in your life. And it pulls. And it's pulling you towards the world. And it's pulling you towards the devil. And it's pulling you towards the pride of life. And it's pulling you away from truth. And it's pulling you away from purity in your life. And it's pulling you towards habitual sins. Yeah, your flesh is and so is mine. And we underestimate that. We live every day and we don't wake up to the reality that we have a magnet within us that is pulling against everything that God wants. And the Bible says so in the flesh, you cannot please God. That means the more I give into that magnet, the less I please my Lord. It's strong. So what do I do with this magnet within me that is pulling? I have to die to it. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 8, verse number 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What's this mean, preacher? Well, he's speaking to believers here. He's speaking to the church at Rome. Ye is personal. If you make a choice to live after the flesh, ye shall die. What are you talking about? I'm talking about your desires to live for God are going to die. I'm talking about your fellowship with God is going to die. You cannot live after the flesh and have all of these things lined up over here. I want you to know that if you're choosing to live in the flesh in your life right now, you got a casual view of Christ. You got a casual view of Christianity. This thing's not serious to you. You're just along for the ride for whatever you can get out of it. You don't want to give anything to God. You don't want to make commitments to God. I want you to know you're living in the flesh and you cannot live spiritually that way. You're going to die spiritually, according to the Scriptures. Sir, you're living in pornography. You are living after the flesh. The magnet has control of you. And hear me this morning, spiritually, your fellowship with God is dead. Spiritually, your direction in life for living for God is dead. Something has control of you. And if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, the Bible says. It's taking you down a wrong path. You live and you've got corrupt morals in your life, and you got filthy music that you're listening to. I want you to understand this morning that that is all after the flesh. And you live after the flesh and your relationship with God, and watch this, your wisdom's going to go out the window. It's going to start to show up in your life, foolish decisions and wrong direction and no fellowship with God and no direction. You say, preacher, how do I counteract all that? That's a lot. That's in me? Yeah, and it's in me too. What am I supposed to do about all that? You, according to the Bible, through the Spirit, are to mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live. What's that? That's to crucify the flesh and the affections that go with it. Hear me. Flesh always leads you by feelings. The Spirit always leads you by truth. And I'm going to tell you something, if you don't know this already, your feelings very few times follow truth. Your feelings are self. Here's a feeling of unforgiveness. I'm not going to forgive them. But what does the truth say? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But I don't feel like forgiving, preacher. They hurt me so bad. Yeah, you're following your flesh. When you follow feelings, you follow flesh. And you know what? You need to crucify your feeling on that issue. And you need to say, my feeling doesn't matter to me. Truth matters to me. And I'm going to act on truth regardless of my feelings. And brethren, when you do that and you kill the feeling in the flesh and you act on truth, what's the Bible say? You do that through the Spirit and you what? You live. What's that mean, preacher? That means that right desires will come back. That means that you'll get direction from God. Fellowship can be restored. You can confess sin before the Lord and move on from it. Ye shall live. All of a sudden, there's different fruit that's coming forth from your life that's alive. It's evidence of spiritual fruit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. Where's all that coming from? That's coming from a Christian who has mortified, crucified his affections and his lusts. And brethren, that is a battle in the Christian life. But through the Spirit, you can't do it by you. And God never expected you to. He gave us the Spirit so that we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. What is your sin problem today? Your flesh problem? Liquor? Drugs? Preacher, I don't have those kinds of problems. What about your tongue? What about gossip? What about dishonesty? Whatever problem is, watch this. You need to mortify the feelings of it today. You need to call it what it is. It is a sin of the flesh. You need to put it to death afresh. Maybe you've done that before and it became alive again. And you gave into a temptation, and all of a sudden that flesh rose up and you became entrapped again. Hear me this morning. You can mortify it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can live. The way to gain victory over what you're dealing with in the flesh is not to try to topple Dagon. The Old Testament Dagon was a god that they worshipped. But instead of trying to topple him, you know what they did? They brought in the ark. They brought in the presence of God. And when they did, Dagon fell. My friend, we are in a church service where the Spirit of God is meeting with us. If you have a Dagon in your life, you have a sin of the flesh, you got sins that you're dealing with, you're living a fleshly life and you know it. Hear me this morning. It is the Spirit of God that wants to help you this morning to mortify something, to crucify it, to not allow the magnet to control me, to discontinue following my feelings in that area. And that can happen through the Spirit of God. Christian, you're on a path right now. And that path is leading towards spiritual death, or it's leading towards spiritual life. Every one of us. And there are some, watch this, it's becoming open to others that you're going down a road of spiritual death. I don't mean that we walk around judging. I just mean that people see fruit. And the fruit is not leading in a good direction. And the fruit is showing that you got a flesh problem. And I am speaking the word of God today. I have taken you right to Scripture to show you this issue. And it is for your protection. It is so that you can start to have spiritual life again. Watch this, that is revival. But you can't keep being pulled by the magnet and experience spiritual life. At some point, I'm not going that way. I have the Spirit of God in me. And Lord, through your Spirit this morning, I'm putting to death some things in my life that I know are not pleasing to you. And Lord, your word wants me to do that. And Lord, I have been living by feelings in some areas and not by your word. And Lord, that's going to change. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Hear me this morning. If you're living in the flesh, you're not reflecting Jesus Christ. They that are Christ, they that belong to Christ, they crucify those things. And this morning is a sound warning through the ministry of the Spirit. It's time to crucify some things. It's time for me to change direction. And you know what? Thankfully, that can happen in a service in a moment just like this. Direction can be changed. If I'll humble myself to the truth of the Scripture and realize I cannot do this thing by myself, but through the Spirit I can. I've got to mortify this thing in my body. Watch this. Some of you are substituting things for worship on Sundays that you should not be substituting. You are giving yourself to things on Sundays that God should be having your time. You ought to be in church on Sundays. And you are putting substitutes in your worship. And that is fleshly, my friend. And you ought to change it. You ought to mortify it today. You ought to rededicate the Lord's Day to the Lord wholly. That He has all of it. It's His day. Some, you have negative thoughts that you have developed about people in your family, in your church, and you're allowing them to control how you act, control your attitudes. And I'm saying this morning, you need to do some mortifying. I'm a firm believer, there's a lot of mortifying that needs to be done. We get before the Holy Spirit, we'd find out where we're dropping the ball. It's a serious business. And God says, I've given you the power to mortify the deeds of the flesh.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.